It is 20 minutes before 9 o'clock on this Friday morning, time for today's edition of Northeast Colorado Talks. I'm Alec Creighton, and on the line with us is State Representative Dusty Johnson. Good morning. Appreciate your joining us this morning.
Good morning and happy Friday. We made it through the week.
Yes. Well, and it's a week that saw the General Assembly assemble on Wednesday, and you heard from the governor, the State of the State address. How are things starting off for this session?
Yeah, they're starting off fast. It was a long speech that the governor gave, and we already saw one amendment go through. We had to give permission to the governor to give his State of the State through a resolution saying that he would be invited to the Capitol. And the original draft of that was His Excellency, Governor Jared Polis, and the amendment was to strike Excellency and put Honorable.
Okay, well, glad we got that straight, and I guess since it's his last one, maybe that's why he was a little long-winded this time?
Yep, a lot to say. It's his legacy year because he's termed out. It's his last one, so we wanted to make sure he didn't forget anything he wanted to say.
His big chance, his last invitation there. What, did he make any news? Were there any things that he said that weren't expected or that are of note?
Not really. I mean, it was all what we were saying. You know, he was taking a lot of credit, though, which threw everybody off. He was taking a lot of credit for a lot of things that were done for, like, you know, sports news and bringing the Sunset Festival to Colorado. And so he was taking all these wins that the communities around Colorado actually had done. So that threw people off. But he wanted to take the momentum for all of that. A lot of things disagreeing on. He was trying to talk about how Colorado is affordable to live in, how we're moving in the right direction for safety, which counteracts that we are the third most expensive state to live in. So a lot of eye-rolling during the speech when he's saying one thing, but the reality of folks when they're paying, you know, high taxes and groceries are going up, electric rates are going up this year, property taxes, you know, especially like in the Morgan area, but across the state is expensive. So just listening to what he said and then checking the facts and the statistics, say one thing, but another thing was happening.
So it sounds like maybe a speech by a politician, not to be too cynical.
It's exactly what it was, because it's the last legacy, so his speech, so it'll all be transcripted out. It already is. So, you know, in history, 20 years from now, he was going for what people are going to see and potentially quote him on.
Ah, interesting. So has he made any proposals for the legislature this year that are of particular note?
We're in the process of reviewing those now. So it is, though, an interesting thing because we don't have any money to spend. We have to cut $1.4 billion, and that's projected to move to $1.5 billion as we keep reassessing where everything's at. And so looking at some of his budget proposals, and he's trying to, you know, add more money in certain areas, but he's not taking that money from somewhere else. It's been interesting. The good news is a lot of the Joint Budget Committee members, a lot of the members on Finance Committee, Appropriations Committee, they've been saying we're going to look at the numbers. He can have his wish list all he wants, but until we can get to zero to help, you know, bring down that $1.4 billion, because we constitutionally have to balance the budget, we're going to be looking at numbers more than his wish list.
So that's a really interesting you say 1.4, because the number we were hearing going in, at least that I thought I had heard, was 800 million and maybe up to a billion. So this is 400 million more than that. Is the governor proposing a budget that is not balanced?
So we're starting to see a little bit. So he's proposing a budget that's not balanced. We're also seeing a lot of the after effects from special session. And last session, as January 1st hit and a lot of bills were implemented, that then drove the fiscal note on agencies. So when we last spoke in December, it was, you know, $850 million around that ballpark. January hit. We saw more bills from last session finally take effect January 1st. We're seeing his proposal. We're seeing how much money the special session actually did drain out of the system. And so that's where the numbers are always changing. And that's where they could even, you know, from 1.4, we can go to 1.5 here by mid-February as the state catching up with all of the IOUs that it's been writing.
So I can't remember off the top of my head what the overall state budget amount is, but $1.4 billion, that's, I mean, people are going to notice cuts like that, right?
Yes. Well, and we're going to see, I mean, when we look at this year, there will be a bill that they want to push their renewable standards up by 10 years. So instead of 2050 for the state to be 100% renewable, they want to move it to 2040. Well, we've seen, you know, last year, this year, all the winds, we've had all the fires. Things do not work on the renewable standard alone. We need oil and gas. People, on average, probably will start seeing $17 to $20 increases a month per their electricity bills. So a lot of the standards they're trying to do just do not work. So we look at that, but we also look at the fact just numbers aren't adding up, and it's going to be – you're going to hear a lot about numbers from me next month and a month after and trying to remind folks watch where the wallet is, and government's trying to grab more out of people's wallet.
So in that process, we're visiting with State Representative Dusty Johnson. Are there places where you would specifically like to see cuts, and are there some potential cuts that you're concerned about that you would rather not see?
Yeah, I would love to see cuts on all of these unfunded mandates they've put on our housing. One of the bills I'm running is to repeal a landscape irrigation back valve mandate, because when you add more mandates to add more things to the system, it drives costs up. It's unfunded because there's no money telling people they have to do this. It's just saying you have to. And the agencies don't have the money to even implement it. So now we're facing people are going to have to implement things they don't have money for, but agencies have no money to even enforce those. So I would say all those things, you know, that we're adding a lot of what people say sound good. Yes, you know, we want to monitor water. Yes, we want to do things, but we can't do it at the cost that it drives up so many things that we can't even use the water in the first place. So pushing back, repealing a lot of those things, I think are going to help. I'm looking right now to see if it's possible and how can we reallocate some funds to go out to rural infrastructure because of all the freight we have out there, because of all the travel, because it's, you know, a lot of people come into our state by road. Our roads are crumbling. I would love to see more money to roads. And how do we appropriately allocate that and not putting, you know, the transportation money into the RTD system here in Denver that the governor was so proud of last year and that he wants to keep building upon? It's not realistic. And why are we putting all the money to Denver when it's the rural areas that are feeding, fueling, and even adding money to the state? So I would say we need to move around money, put it where it's actually driving revenue in the economy, and then pushing back on all these things that are just costly to add.
Yeah, so there begins to develop a list, and I guess it'll be interesting to see how that process goes, because, I mean, that's a still pretty wide gap to get things balanced. So, go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, and we're going to see a lot of nice-to-have programs that the session put in last year that I think we should, and they haven't been rolled out yet, so I think we're going to have to cut to some of those things of, you know, there was a bill to go allow, and it was only, you know, it was very expensive, but only, you know, a handful or so parks, playgrounds at schools. We are going to have to go probably, I would say, go back and cut against those, because we're going to be struggling just to fund the infrastructure and the personnel of schools. So it's going to be a very tough year of saying, you know, no one wants to take away from the children, but if we're looking at keeping the lights on in one of our rural buildings or adding a fancy playground in a city area, we're going to have to start saying, well, which one is the one we have to focus on now and which one can we come back to in a couple of years?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's fine to have a wish list, but if you don't have the dollars, you don't have the dollars. What, yeah. As the session gets started, what are some of the areas that you'll be focusing on, and maybe start with the committees that you're on, and what are some main topics that those committees will be dealing with?
Yeah, so I'm blessed to represent our area on four committees. The first is Ag, Water, Natural Resources. Huge this year is we're going to be looking at how they're telling people how they can use their water rights, which we're going to need to push back on because we don't need people from other regions telling, and I don't care where they're at in the state, you know, Southwest Colorado shouldn't tell Northeast Colorado how to operate, and Northeast Colorado shouldn't tell Denver how to operate. And we're going to need to make sure that we're not doing one size fits all when they look at water allocations. We're going to see the right to float bill come, and that's going to infringe on private property rights. And seeing, you know, when someone should this bill, you know, go through and it's looking like it has momentum, unfortunately, where is that liability when someone's floating down the stream? It can't be on the property owner who didn't want those people on their property to begin with. So we're going to see a lot of that in fighting. We're going to still be talking about wolves, talking about beavers, talking about buffalo. Second committee I'm on is Health and Human Resources. We're looking at the Medicaid cuts and how do we keep, you know, our safety net providers in rural areas alive? How do we make sure our first responders, paramedics, and EMTs continue to operate, especially with the crumbling healthcare system we have in Colorado? And we have amazing providers, but we have it set in such a way we don't have the funds and the resources to keep it stable. Education committee, we're going to look at how do we fully fund K through 12. I have the most school districts out in Northeast Colorado, and how do I make sure that they get the proper allocations that they deserve and that they're not cut or we're not being told by Denver that our counties only deserve one school district? Everybody in, let's say, Phillips County can only go to one school. That's not okay, but that's what they're going to look at for budgeting. On audit committee, making sure that we're pushing back on state agencies and departments who are using these taxpayer funds. Two committees ago, I realized, and I'm trying to figure out how to fix it, like Healthier Colorado, a lot of their budget came from spending money on alcohol and food for the staff and admin. That's not okay. That's where we're having a lot of the shortfalls of budgeting. I would love to see that no taxpayer money can be used for alcohol, and you have to allocate that you're doing, you know, I get personal travel, but you shouldn't have your main expense be all of these meals when that costs more than, you know, the hotel and the conference or the event.
Right, right. And all of that adds up as well.
And it adds up quick.
Yeah. I'm going to step back to the education committee just for a moment, mm-hmm. because we talk regularly to school superintendents and that sort of thing in this area, and they're dealing with their local budgets. What are the expectations that school districts should have from this legislative session as far as their funding? Is there any of the local school district funding at risk this year?
We're probably going to see a lot more hold harmless, which is a double sword. It means that we're not losing any money. I'll just use simple numbers. Let's say we give 100, I mean, it's way more than that, but just to keep it simple. If schools last year got $100, hold harmless would mean this year they get 100. That's the losing money. They're not adapting with inflation. As we all know, things get more expensive, but on the same token, they're not going down to $80 or $60. And that's where they're going to hold a lot of our rural schools and say, hey, we could take money away from you, so we're going to keep you where you're at. And then they're going to sell it saying, we gave you more money. We gave all the schools and we fully funded them because we held them harmless. And so that's the messaging of I don't see any increases to school budgets. Not anything significant, maybe enough to keep up with inflation if we're lucky.
Right.
But really, it's going to be a tough year. And when we look at averaging, they're going to be pushing back on, we need 4 to 5 years averaging out here because our student base is so, it fluctuates so much. You have a set of twins or a family that had, five kids go through and they leave. The school just lost that. And if they're only in a school of 60, that's huge. Denver doesn't want that. They want per year counts. And that's what we go off of. And they're trying to negotiate saying we get 2 to 3 years averaging.
Right.
That's hard because 2 years is not even an average.
So that would benefit the metro schools to the detriment of the rural schools, as that's being proposed. Yeah.
And so that's where, I mean, I tell all my superintendents, Northeast Colorado superintendents in rural areas across the state, we're going to need your voice at the table on why we need to keep up with inflation rates. I know it's going to be, you know, very tempting to say, well, we need this because of, you know, building codes and to keep up with, you know, our water mandates and everything else. And I wish we could give it, but it's coming to the table and saying we just need to keep up with the inflation rates so we can keep the lights on. Because if we go to hold harmless or even looking at cuts or going down to a two-year so-called averaging, it's going to hurt a lot of folks out in these districts.
And so, and the education and schools is one. Our healthcare facilities is another area that gets brought up a lot where there's budget concerns. What's on your radar as far as the funding and policies for our rural healthcare institutions?
Yeah, we're gonna see bills that are gonna put more forces, and it's a double-edged sword because our hospitals and businesses, especially in rural Colorado, work together. We're gonna see bills that put more mandates on businesses to pay higher rates into Medicaid. So that's going to put businesses, and that's going to hurt with employment and factors in the community. That's going to hurt with retention of providers because their spouse is going to need a job. But if the local businesses can't afford it, we might not get those providers out here. We're going to look at, unfortunately, they're probably going to tell insurance companies what they have to cover again. And adding so many things onto the backs of all these groups saying Colorado says we deem that you have to cover this. Well, that adds cost to everybody on your co-pays and what you're paying. I've also heard that, you know, a lot of people say, well, we have these sources in Denver, and because we have them, why would we give them out to rural? Rural can just travel to us. And it doesn't work that way. We know how stubborn folks are out here. It's hard enough to get, you know, some of my family members or even me into the doctors when I need to get seen.
Right.
Let alone
right.
They're not going to travel 2, 3, 4 hours to go get seen.
Yeah.
We also have, and this is, it's hard to say because you never want to turn someone away. You want to care for patients. Our safety net providers are incentivized to take as many patients as possible because the more patients they get on Medicaid, the more money they make. The issue is we don't have the provider base to keep up with it. So if you invite so many people into the system, you're now waiting 2, 3 months to get seen because they don't have enough turnaround time to get you seen when there's a chronic or an acute issue. So yes, they by numbers are serving more people. But are they, you know, how do we make sure those folks are actually getting the treatment they need when they need it?
A lot to talk about. We're only 3 days into the session and lots to talk about. We'll look forward to other updates. And again, we're visiting with Representative Justy Johnson. Are you going to have a chance to get over to the stock show during its run this next week?
I am. That's what I'll be doing this weekend. Had a chance to go there for a few receptions, trying to build our economy base in Colorado. So I went and met with the ambassador from Canada, trying to figure out how do we bring economic resources. So half of it's fun. I already got to go to the rodeo, you know, and hang out. Half of it's work and trying to figure out how do we build our base here in Colorado and make it the hub that we know it is and that it can be, especially in agriculture. So if you're down at Stock Show, you know, these next couple of days or next couple of weeks, most likely you'll see me, not during the day, I'll be in committee, but more in the evenings.
All right. Very good. And we appreciate the update, and we'll check in with you again soon, and I'm sure there'll be much more to talk about as we go through the session. Thanks very much for your time this morning.
Yes, thank you so much, and continue, anyone, please reach out. I need to hear from you as things are happening, and we've seen over 100 bills introduced already, so it's something everyone has to stay engaged in this year.
Okay. And appreciate your taking the time to talk to us about those things. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Thank you. You too, Representative Dusty Johnson at the state legislature in Denver, our guest this morning on Northeast Colorado Talks.